Welcome again, everyone, to another exciting episode of Are You Not Kentertained? This is episode 55, and today's date is June 21st, 2017. I am your host, Carrie, and not only am I joined, as always, by two guys whose day one may be a little more itch than mine, Kent and Russ, but we also have a special guest on the podcast this week, my husband, Eric. He's going to chime in on a few things as we go through this week's topics. So how is everyone this week?
Well, I am just dandy, and Carrie, it's great to have you back on the hosting duties. Hopefully you'll keep us on track better than Kent and I could keep ourselves on track.
I shall try.
I really liked how Bailey's boobs looked this week. That's what I want to contribute to this week. Eric, do you have anything that you want to say?
It sure would be great if I had my own working mic and didn't need to use yours. Back to you, Kat.
Yes, great stuff back here.
So, whether it's your first time listening to us, or if you're a regular weekly listener, we're sorry, and need a reminder of what we're all about, the three of us recap and discuss the week in pro wrestling. And we also have a few fun segments that we'd like to share with you as well. But before we dive into our Raw and SmackDown recaps for the week, let's talk about this past weekend's pay-per-view, Money in the Bank. But before we do that, let me remind our listeners that, as always, Kent and Steve's Money in the Bank review podcast can be found at 9deuce.com/podcasts. And we will have an in-depth review on our blog at 9deuce.com/wrestling. And with that, all I have to say, guys, is that was the worst pay-per-view I've seen all year. Russ, what did you think?
Well, I'm just going to say that, yeah, it was terrible. It was really, really boring. I think the biggest problem I had was that there was only one match that was anywhere near good. And the other major problem I had was that they screwed up the women's Money in the Bank. But we'll talk more about that, I think, later together as a whole.
Whose hole are we talking about?
We're talking about the women's hole.
Oh, the hole in my soul.
Yes.
It's sad. But seriously, what the fuck were we talking about?
Oh, the pay-per-view. How really bad it was.
Oh, yeah, worst pay-per-view of the year by far. And that says a lot because the previous pay-per-view was the worst pay-per-view of the year.
That was pretty bad right before it, so.
Once again, the bar continues to get lowered in the month of June. Because both pay-per-views happened in June, right?
Yes, yes they did.
Yeah. Eric, you have anything that you want to contribute to this soul-deafening thing?
I very much appreciated that Paulie's cell phone showed up. That was probably the highlight of the night.
I agree with that.
All right. Sounds like we just really hated things for the pay-per-view. So let's move on to Raw, shall we? But first, let's hear for this week's Raw review sponsor. Russ, who's your man crush this week?
Well, that's a fantastic question, Carrie. I scoured the internet for all of about 3 seconds to try to figure out just who is that man-crushy madness of the week. And I actually had to come up with one guy. He is Big Cass. Big Cass is my man-crush of the week. And simply put, he's got those man boobies that everybody loves. Just watch the last segment, everybody, and you will agree with me. Big Cass got some big titties.
Did he get the corporate boob job?
I'm going to say yes. I think he got it. I mean, he just...
They look fabulous.
They did. Phenomenally.
I'd like to see him in a corset, maybe.
Yes. It was really man-crush worthy. Man-crush worthy. And that's my man-crush of the week.
Well, while we're on the subject of man crushes, why don't we just jump right into another one of our favorite segments, guys? Let's jump into Are You Not Kentertained and talk about the big reveal segment this week and the subsequent breakup of Enzo and Cass. I, for one, not that as shocked as I thought I'd be when they finally did the big reveal. Eric, what did you think?
I mean, honestly, I'm very disappointed that Enzo and Cass are never going to have a belt. They didn't have it in NXT. There was really no reason for them not to at least have like a month or two run or anything before they gave it to the Hardys. It's just kind of a huge disappointment. And then the big reveal just went on way too long. I think someone commented that it should have been play the video, then big boot to Enzo's face, and then next week Cass comes out and actually gives us a whole big explanation instead of running what was like 17 minutes over on Raw or something like that. So bad. I mean, some people have to work the next day.
Yeah, it was like 11. It was like 11:20 when that ended. It was awful.
So that's my overgeneral feeling. I mean, and it's not really unexpected. I don't know. It's just not really super entertaining to me.
I think my major question for that whole segment was, how did Corey Graves get access to those tapes, but Kurt Angle couldn't? The security video. I mean,
oh,
did
we're
you
talking about the Paige video?
No, we're not talking about the Paige video.
But I am assuming blowjobs were involved for Corey Graves to be able to get those tapes instead of Kurt Angle.
Absolutely.
So, Russ, what are your thoughts on everything?
Well, I don't know. I thought this was the Are You Not Entertained segment. So I'm going to go and say I was not entertained. Only because I thought it was really a big letdown overall. I mean, the problem I had with this was they had all these attacks, and then it ended up being, oh, yeah, by the way, they were staged. They could have easily had this bit. I mean, and I mentioned this on the blog. If you want to see it, it's at 9deuce.com/wrestling. Go check it out. But I write it on the blog, and I state that if Big Cass had gone and said, I know who did it, I got footage or whatever, and then just blamed the Revival, we'll say. If they'd just gone that route, and then Revival would deny it, and then they'd have a match, and then Big Cass and Enzo win it, and then we could all be, yay, oh, they won, they've got their revenge, and then that's when Big Cass turns on them. And that next week after that, then we have Cass's big reveal why he did it. Perfectly done. I'll give Cass credit. He sounded really good on the mic. He had real emotion when he was talking about the crap with Enzo, but it was just a big disappointment, I thought, overall.
How about you, Kent?
Well, I think I speak for myself and Eric in saying that we were both equally entertained because we both got to hear the Revival's theme song. We haven't heard that in a month. So we go hard. On the plus side,
you definitely go hard, yes.
Cass cut a better promo, this first time cutting a promo, in months than Charlotte has her whole career. There's a little bit of emotion, and it was simply better.
What are you talking about, Kent?
I am talking about giving a speech, a monologue, and I'm mad and angry.
So I'll raise my voice even louder to make it sound like it?
Woo! My dad's a Hall of Famer. Look at me and my titties.
Oh, man.
I don't really have anything to add to this conversation.
All right. So let's go ahead and move on. The big reveal. That's so big. And move on to the return of Braun Strowman. I have to say, this return angered me, guys. He beat up on Roman Reigns. And I can't believe how much he needs to leave Roman alone. I'm sorry. Russ, what do you think?
Well, Carrie, your sudden care for Roman has nothing to do with anything about being historic. This is historic and first time that Carrie's actually being nice to Roman. I'm shocked. Guys, what's going on here? No, nothing from the chicken gallery. It's just going to be me. Okay, fine. So
yeah, it's more entertaining to leave you hanging.
I don't think that is for the fans, though.
Well, are we allowed to talk about why she suddenly loves Roman, or do we just pretend that, you know?
God, it's a...
No,
it's a show, a stupid show. Yeah, they need that context.
Sounds like a historic explanation to me.
Yeah, Eric, go ahead. You've explain it. You've You know.
Well, you know, as a dedicated listener to the show who also lives with, you know, someone who's a part of the show, from what I heard, a lot of times on wrestling recently, on an episode, they would say historic or first time. And for some reason, your illustrious host decided that if they ever reached the number 10 and any combination of those, she would suddenly remember what a huge Roman Reigns and John Cena superfan she is. Now, I would like to point out, I went to law school. So I had an argument all ready for her for the show today that because James Ellsworth went to the top of the ladder and got the briefcase, nothing historic or first time actually happened. Therefore, it completely invalidated everything for the 10 from Money in the Bank. However, last night's SmackDown once again crossed the 10 threshold, so I can no longer use that argument.
And pretty quickly, too. I mean, we got that 10 like that. It was pretty bad. So, yes, so now she's a super Roman fan. All right, so back to my thoughts. I loved Braun coming back. I thought that was one of the best comebacks in a long time. Coming out of an ambulance, genius. Pure genius. And I'll say this, crowd reaction was crazy. I mean, they cheered him like, holy crap, this is... I'm very curious to see what's going to happen at Great Balls of Fire. There's no way Roman's going to get cheered over Braun at this point. So I'm very curious. But I'm glad Braun's back. It's good to see him. And hopefully we'll get some more great over-the-top segments with him. Eric?
So is he going to be a monster face instead of a monster heel? Because I know one of Kent's big issues is that we have a ton of monster heels. Are we seeing the creation of a monster face?
No. Well, if they're smart, they'll go that route. I think, but they won't, because they started this out as him being a heel, and they expected people to get on Roman's side, and boy, did that not happen. So, they should go it, yes. I agree with you, they should do it, but they won't.
All right, well, so, we're all going to agree that it was awesome, so I'm not going to go in the awesomeness of him showing up. I'm just going to say how I want the ambulance match to end. I don't want it to end with Roman Reigns being thrown into an ambulance. I want Roman Reigns to be lying on the ground in front of the ambulance with the back door open, and then Braun Strowman basically puts the ambulance on top of Roman Reigns, and that's how he is put inside the ambulance.
Man, if
so,
they
book it.
If they could do that in a safe way, that would be the most amazing thing ever.
How about you, Kent? What did you think?
I read an interview with Jerry the King Lawler. I'm not exactly sure if this is relevant. As a matter of fact, it's not, but to quote him, that's why I was disappointed to see in the first ever historic Women's Money in the Bank ladder match, blah, 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 blah. So, I mean, this shit's going on, like, in real-life interviews. That are we talking about Braun? We're talking about Braun. Yeah, I think Kane should win whatever thing he was doing and come out, light Roman's hair on fire, and extinguish it and make Roman bald like Kane. Give Roman a mask and see what happens. Yo, do a double switch. Make Roman heel, Braun face. Fuck the ambulance. Why do we need an ambulance? Why can't we have like a UPS truck just for once?
I'm so glad.
Once. It'd be free sponsorship. or an ice cream truck, because you know two acts have tried getting ice cream onto the show and they have failed. Let's do an ice cream truck match. Fuck it. Yeah, what do you got to say about that, Russ?
So we're doing so good today. This podcast.
I don't know what you're talking about. I am so entertained by everything that's happening.
I am too. I think it's hilarious.
Ron is the single most over person right now in wrestling.
He is. He definitely is.
There's nobody gets a better pop right now. Him and Ellsworth.
His pop was huge. I was very shocked.
Yes, his pop was. He was huge.
Also huge. Talk well. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was singing a song about your mom in the shower earlier.
Okay. Was that the only thing you were doing in the shower with singing the song?
No, I wasn't in the shower. I was just singing a song to Audacity about being in the shower with your mom.
Oh, okay. All right, I was confused.
Carrie, you're allowing tangents.
Yes, you really are. You got it. I know it's been 2 weeks since you've been back, but you really got to cut us off. You know that.
Well, I was just about to, but I really wanted to hear the story of Kent in the shower. And with that being said, let's talk about the Samoa Joe Roman Reigns match quickly. Eric, what were your thoughts?
Oh, it was awesome. No, it was actually fun to watch. It's always nice to see Roman get his ass kicked. I know you disagree with that these days. And, you know, in this day and age when, you know, there's always some kind of, you know, some kind of interference finish, I think the Roman gets distracted and then gets the hell choked out of him was actually the perfect way to do it, especially since it was an episode of Raw. Although then it makes Roman's clean win over Bray the week before, though. I mean, it just makes me more angry than I already was about that. But in this case, an interference type way to end it, I'm fine with it. So overall, just an entertaining match, and a good way to lead up to the big reveal in the security tapes.
How about you, Russ?
Man, the match was great. That was probably one of the best TV matches I've seen in years. Oh, and maybe not years, but it's been a while since we've had such that good of a TV match. I'll be honest, in the beginning, first 5 minutes, I didn't really pay attention. Just other things going on, you know, 3 hours of wrestling. But I then started watching the match, and I realized how good it actually was. So I was impressed. I'm glad. I loved that they had the distraction. It was a good way to make it so the match didn't end with anybody winning or losing cleanly. It should have ended murky. So I liked it. It was a great match. So you definitely need to watch it if you haven't seen it.
Oh, I saw it. I thought Reigns did a great job in that match. How about you, Kent?
Not as high on Roman as you appear to be today, but I mean, good for you. You know, good for you cheering on the big dog. And I think that Roman and Seth should both start going on a losing streak. I know that would disappoint the both you and Russ. And then all of a sudden, Roman will be broken and obsolete. And then we can delete Seth. And it'll be such a fresh gimmick. I say we do it. Who else is ever going to pull that off really well? Nobody. As for the match, it was fine. It wasn't one of the greatest matches of all time, like Russ just tried to lead us to believe. But yeah. Yeah, you're like, oh, it's a great TV match.
It was a great TV match. I'm pretty sure you even say that in the blog, that it was a great TV match.
Russ, do you realize how many things I say in the blog that I completely contradict myself in on the
Probably
podcast?
Everything. Yeah, probably everything.
It's at least every other thing, yeah.
Now, Kent, you brought up a good question I was thinking about. Is it smart of WWE to give us such a good match that's free TV? What were your thoughts on that?
No. It's stupid as fuck, man. Like, we're having shit pay-per-views, right?
Yes.
So, the way to fix shit pay-per-views is stop giving us good matches on TV. Like, there's no reason, even WCW back in its shittiest of shit days still found ways to give us at least a couple good matches on Nitro.
Mm-hmm.
And then their pay-per-views, well, they're doing what WWE does now. Give us shit, short matches that don't add up to much. Usually Vampiro's involved. We need to have 2 to 3 good matches on Raw, 2 good matches on SmackDown a week. Not great. Every once in a while, give us a great one. And use the mid-card to put over the upper card, and every once in a while, you know, interweave some storylines and stuff. That's how you build up things, right? And then at the pay-per-view, you actually have good matches. There's no reason in this day and age for us to have less than 4 good matches of pay-per-view.
That's none. That's true. Like, and I agree with you on that, except I'm kind of in the reverse and saying if they're going to give us shit pay-per-views like the last 2 we've had, then fine, give us the free TV ones. I mean, that makes no sense.
Part of our job is to actually watch these shit pay-per-views.
I know.
I mean, if that wasn't part of our obligation, I would say fuck it, but...
Well, I'm saying if they're going to give us shit pay-per-views, I want to see good matches. So if they're going to give them to us, others, but the stupid thing is give it to us free. Why? Why are they giving it to us free?
It's a good point. Real good point. But another good point is I actually have a wrestling story of the week, guys.
Holy shnikes.
So, and this goes along with the Raw Women's Division. According to a Facebook post I saw, it is being reported that Creative is planning to have a huge romantic angle for Bayley for SummerSlam. WWE officials are planning to continue focusing on Bayley's innocence, and it is going to come to light that Bayley has never kissed a man before. And apparently, the idea is the angle will continue until SummerSlam with having her first kiss after her match at SummerSlam. And apparently, speculation is Corey Graves is going to be involved in this storyline, guys. What are your thoughts on this, Eric?
I hate this so much. So Carrie and I were recently at AwesomeCon in Washington, D.C., where wrestling is getting an even bigger bump there. They had two wrestling panels, plus Nakamura and Flair were there. But at both wrestling panels, Bayley and how terrible everything they've done with her since coming up to the main roster was brought up. You know what's not going to improve her? This. She's supposed to be like, you know, they're trying to make her a hero to all the kids. You got like 10-year-olds on Tinder these days. See, the 10-year-olds are going to be like, what? She's never kissed a boy? This is absolutely ridiculous. And especially with certain tapes being released and everyone knowing what the NXT women are up to, I just don't think anyone is going to buy this. And then Corey Graves, the whole idea of, oh, she's with a bad boy. It's just, it's going to further demean her character. It's going to completely backfire. And it's just going to further destroy the Raw Women's Division, which is already most basically in shambles.
What do you think, Russ?
This is stupid. I really hate these stupid angles. I mean, never been... Who the fuck cares if she's kissed a guy or not? I have no fucking shits to give. So, or fucks for that matter. So, they have effectively killed Bayley for me. I hate Bayley right now. She used to be one of my favorite female wrestlers, and they have completely made me hate her. So, good job. Her and Sasha are in this, basically in the same boat for me. Fuck it. I don't care.
How about you, Kent? What do you think?
I'm glad you asked. So, we're talking about innocence. Did anybody see her tits uppercutting her chin on Monday Night Raw when we're talking about innocence? Come the fuck on. Secondly, did anybody watch the Hall of Fame ceremony? She brought a guy. She's brought a guy the past 2 years. If anybody watched Breaking Ground, she had a guy. You can't... You just can't do... It's a mind fuck, really. I mean... Oh, God.
This is lazy writing. That's what it is. It's stupid and lazy writing.
It's not even late. How is it lazy? It's just stupid. Lazy is just like, oh, we need somebody to turn on Enzo. Big Cass has been his tag team partner. Let's go with him. No, this is just stupid fucking writing. And, you know, Bayley better come out with a sex tape very fucking soon. Because, I mean, the Summer Rae thing was okay, but, you know, I need more.
But before this angle takes off, please.
Before, during... Actually, it'd be pretty funny if it happened like, the week of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never been kissed before.
More sex tapes.
Yeah.
Fuck WWE.
So, guys, as Eric mentioned, we went to a couple wrestling panels where we were at AwesomeCon, and the question was asked, how do you fix Bayley? I'd like to get the three of your thoughts on this. How do you feel we should fix Bayley? I think... I almost want to suggest heel turn at this point. But that's just me. Eric, thoughts?
I honestly have no clue. I know the idea of sending her back to NXT was batted around a lot at AwesomeCon, and I think there is something to that. You know, I almost wonder, though, maybe like her making her a manager to someone. Not in a stupid romance angle like with Corey Graves, but if they could maybe just team her up with someone or... God, well, you know, I think we're going to be talking about Bo Dallas later, and he's no longer a life coach. But could you imagine, like, if it had been something like that where she loses her self-confidence and then, like, Bo shows up and they kind of, like, work together? But, you know, unfortunately these days, WWE doesn't seem to really have the gravitas to go full throttle with these things. They didn't do it with Bo. The Make Daring Young Great Again had great potential, and then it immediately went nowhere. And I know we're all skeptical, although I think they made great strides recently with the Titus brand. It looks like they're not quite... I've got hope after the whole Akira Tozawa thing recently, but... You know, and again, it's not going to happen now because now, you know, we got Bo Dallas with The Miz. But what if Bayley replaced Maryse and joins that posse? I mean, I don't know. It just is some crisis of conscience. But as of right now, I don't really have a whole lot of hope. I think she just needs to kind of just be low in the... She needs to, like, drop down to the basement, let some other people feud over the women's belt, and then go from there.
How about you, Russ? How do you propose we fix Bayley?
Well, okay, first of all, we stop her from being a little whiny bitch when she loses, because that's all she's been since Alexa took the belt from her. Second, I think we need to let those boobies fly like they were on Monday night. I mean, just let them flop around a little bit, you know? Get that innocence away from her a little bit. Now, on a serious note, just let Bayley be Bayley. What was great about her is that she was an everyday girl. All right, not this innocent girl, not this like fresh cherry thing. She was a fan of the business, grew up a fan, met her heroes, continued to be a fan after meeting her heroes, and just went out there and kicked butt out there in some good, decent matches. And that's all she needs to do. They don't need to add this extra angle crap. They are killing her character when it's the easiest thing to do naturally. Let her be a fan of the business and be a part of it. So it's like we're connected to her. So that's honestly, I think, just let us have that back and stop the innocent bullshit. She's not innocent. Nobody at her age is, and it would be incredibly shocking to find someone at her age that's innocent. So, that's it. I don't know what else we can do for her. Other than that, I agree with Eric. She's got to stop feuding for the belt. Drop her down. Start it back up.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think the innocent thing is going to work for her. I mean, we all can admit that her underdog persona in NXT was the best persona for her. Kent, same question for you. How do you think we fix Bayley?
Aside from a sex tape reveal, here's an easy angle. She gets another title shot. She loses. She's still losing her confidence. Stephanie's due back. Stephanie gets in Bayley's head and starts mentoring her. Almost kind of like what Eric was saying with Bo Dallas, except for have Stephanie be her mentor. And then Stephanie starts utilizing her to get back at women that have done Stephanie a little wrong. And eventually Bayley realizes, like, this is kind of fucked up what she's being asked to do. And that leads up to a Bayley versus Stephanie match. And Steph can work an adequate match. It only needs to be 5 minutes. The story writes itself. Eric, you got something?
Now, just as I was sitting here, one other possibility. Let me know what you guys think about this. You know, we're talking about lazy writing and just letting the writers do something easy. Send her to SmackDown and do Mean Girls with the Welcoming Committee. She comes over there, and, like, the Welcoming Committee comes to welcome her, and sweet and innocent Bayley is like, oh, these cool girls want to hang out with me, and then just do the plot to Mean Girls.
Couldn't they also just make her Sable? That's like, draw hands on her tits and just... bring Mark Merrill back.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't know that.
Brock Lesnar. It writes itself again.
That Monday, I'm telling you, that Monday, she was the freshest she's looked in a long time. So, I think they've got something going here.
Well, I guess, guys, we got some good ideas. Hopefully WWE's creative's listening and they can fix Bailey. But let's move on. Happy news. Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas both made Raw this week. And it looks like they're going to be in the Miz's entourage. What are your thoughts on all this? I'm kind of excited about it, especially with their return. Eric, thoughts?
I'm very happy. I've always loved Bo Dallas, and I've always hated what they've done with him. And I still think he could have been the next Kurt Angle if they had just been willing to go all in on him. But he's got a new look. He really took it to Baylor, and I'm a little bit torn on that because after Baylor got knocked the fuck out by Jinder Mahal, and we all know he got knocked out. Like, we all saw it. And at the time, Jinder Mahal was a jobber. Now it's not quite as bad because he's, you know, SmackDown champion. But, like, he gets knocked out there. Bo Dallas, who is still a glorified jobber, at least until he does something with The Miz, really took it to Finn Balor. I'm really worried that Finn Balor is eventually going to be the new Dolph Ziggler once Ziggler retires. He's going to eventually become Jobber to the Stars. But we'll worry about that later. I'm probably breaking my wife's heart by saying such things. But anyways, you can't go wrong being paired with The Miz. Even going back, you know, The Miz has had his ups and downs, but even a few years ago when Miz teamed with R-Truth and the whole conspiracy thing, and like, that was entertaining. Like, I think you can put Miz with anyone and Miz can make it entertaining.
Alex Riley worked even.
Yeah, so I think this means good things for Axel and him, unless this is all just something having to do with some big Maurice plot. I don't even know what they could possibly do, but like, you know, the idea is right now they're supposed to be replacing Maurice, which means it's eventually just going to lead to a month or two from now, The Miz screwing over those two in favor of getting his wife back. But I'm going to say I'm cautiously optimistic right now.
Russ, how about you?
I'm going to agree with Eric on this one. I agree with Eric where he said Bo Dallas was... I always thought Bo Dallas was the next Kurt Angle, and they completely trashed it. I always thought that, and they ruined it. So I'm glad Bo Dallas is finally getting something. Glad Curtis Axel's got something to do. I think what they are doing is the entourage is going to replace Maurice, which I hate this story. I hate these accidental breakups. They're so annoying. My God. Enough with them already. They're not really breaking up in real life. We don't give a damn. Just separate them if you don't want them together. It's easy. So... good for Bo Dallas, good for Curtis. Hope that this works out for the entourage, but Eric's still right. They're still glorified jobbers until they do something as the entourage. So,
how about you, Kent? What do you got for me?
All right, here we go. Bo has grown a beard. Curtis has a beard. Miz will grow a beard. Bo will then marry a woman who looks like his sister, and then Bo will cheat on her and start nailing Nia Jax, and voila, we have made magic for Bo Dallas and made him relevant. He'll be a bigger star than Bray ever was. That's what I think, because I loved everything about Bo versus Finn, and then they ruined it by doing... I feel that they ruined Bo's momentum by including him with Miz. Bo all of a sudden finally had spotlight, was taking it to one of the top tier guys, and then next thing you know, oh, you're a flunky with Curtis Axel. Really, anytime you get teamed with Curtis Axel, that's not a good thing for your freaking career, unfortunately. So, yeah, they elevated him and destroyed him in one single night. It was incredible. So, once again, start nailing Nia Jax, Bo. We believe in you.
Well, wouldn't Nia Jax be a step down?
From his sister?
Looks,
I'm pretty sure
looks
Nia Jax
like,
a step up from his sister.
Looks like his sister. Doesn't have.
How many other bitches look like
his
sister?
I don't know. Apparently one.
Well, Bailey kind of does.
And why can't
Bailey,
he nail,
we can include
why
Bailey
can't he ba- nail his sister-in-law now, since his sister-in-law is free?
Oh my God, he could nail his sister-in-law, then Bailey, then Nia Jax.
It works.
Oh, and Ember Moon could get called up.
Yes.
Ember Moon's way better than Nia Jax. Bo, strive for that Ember Moon ass.
So, guys, I actually read something a little interesting before we started recording tonight. Apparently, they're doing this whole Miz and Maurice storyline breakup because of a certain debut of another power couple on SmackDown. Maria and Kanellis and Mike Bennett. Apparently, WWE didn't want two power couples in the promotion, even though they're on different brands. Doesn't make sense to me. Can any of you, Eric, make some sense out of this for me, will you?
Well, no, there is no sense to be made out of it because, again, they can't decide if there's really a brand split or not. Think about this. When you're watching a Raw pay-per-view, they will show you advertisements for a SmackDown pay-per-view. So, you know, you would think if they were really separate, then you wouldn't, it would be okay to have power couples on two separate brands. But the writers, Vince, you know, when it all comes down to it, Vince is thinking, we're still one organization. This whole brand split is really just, you know, it's ephemeral. It's not actually real. So until they actually fully commit to the brand split, I think you're always going to see you can only have this one thing here, whether it's on one show or the other.
Russ, what about you? What do you think of this?
If that's their reasoning, it is the stupidest fucking reason I have ever heard. First of all, I don't even know who these people are. And they debut... Okay, they debut on a pay-per-view where none of us know who the fuck they are except for the super fans. And then they don't even show them on SmackDown. Or if they showed them on SmackDown, we weren't paying attention because none of us really paid attention to SmackDown too much. But did they show them on SmackDown?
We'll get to that when we get to SmackDown. But apparently there was a dark segment.
Oh, well, okay. That was dark, which we didn't see, which means... Well,
Ember Moon's not up on the main roster yet.
No, but Naomi is. So, I'm stupefied by this. And besides, they had two power couples before, John Cena and Nikki and Miz and Maurice, and that seemed to work out great. So, yeah, that makes a lot of fucking sense.
And Kent.
Russ, are you like on your man period? You're very negative today. I'm a little concerned for your body. Like, going through changes? Are you...
No, it's just... The wrestling's been going on. Like, some of the stuff has been really stupid. Really fucking stupid.
In all fairness, you were on the right track, but as usual, you just didn't finish the job. So allow me to finish your job.
Go ahead.
I'll finish you off. WWE doesn't want power couples. Well, then fire Triple H or Stephanie. Then fire Nikki or John. Then fire Daniel or Brie. Then fire Zach or Emma. Then fire Jimmy or Jay and Naomi. I don't know which one, or they probably tag teamed her. She seems like she would enjoy that.
I was about to say, she's no Paige, okay? You don't know that.
Would we consider her private parts the Uso Penitentiary, maybe?
It's holding something prisoner, yes.
And I'm sure there's other power, Bray and JoJo, Bo and Ember.
You're forgetting, did you say Dean?
I forgot about Dean and Renee. Yeah. So, yeah.
What about Vince and Linda?
One power couple, though.
What about Vince and Linda?
Is Linda still alive?
Yes,
she's looked like comatose for like the past 20 years. The last time she looked good was when she took Tombstone from Kane.
Yes, Linda's still alive. She's the head of the Small Business Administration.
Right. Interestingly enough, I just rewatched the Mick Foley interview and Shane McMahon thing on WWE Network, and they show a picture of Vince with Steph and Shane on either side of him. And in the background, you see this giant portrait of Linda in the background. I'm like, wow, that's an awful portrait. So, I don't know where I'm going with this, but she's ugly. That's all I got.
And with that, let's go ahead and jump to SmackDown. But before we do that, let's find out what's grinding Kent's gears this week. Kent?
Well, let me tell you what's grinding my gears this week. Feminist. You know, you say you want something, right? And then you get it, and then, well, we want a little more. And then you get a little more. It's like, well, we want to be told we're hot, too. Okay, we're going to tell you you're hot, and you're going to get paid for being hot. Well, we don't want to really get paid for being hot, so you don't want the money. No, we want equal pay. I don't get it. I really don't get women and the feminism money grab as of late, especially in Hollywood. It's bothering me because women are like dudes. They're replaceable in films, right? If you're not willing to do what needs to be done, I mean, fucking Charlie Hunnam shows his bare ass every other freaking time he's on my screen. He's totally cool with it. So if you're not okay showing your tits, then accept the pay decrease. That's all. I don't see what the problem is, but, you know, stupid winner's bone Jennifer Lawrence bitch, like, she acts like she's fucking special. She hasn't done anything relevant in 10 fucking years. The Hunger Games, really? Like, I'm sure if I was 13, I may have jerked off a little bit to it, but I'm not anymore. So, fuck her. She needs to start putting out or shut up because she don't deserve the money she's making now. So, take that, feminist. That's what really grinds my gears.
Well, while we're on the subject of women, let's go ahead and talk about the fallout from the women's Money in the Bank match. So, as we saw Tuesday night, Daniel Bryan took the briefcase from Carmella, and apparently we're going to have a redo on next week's SmackDown. And there's also a redo of Lana and Naomi, but we don't care about that. Let's talk about Money in the Bank. Eric, what do you think?
So I was really, really bothered by everything with all the women coming to Daniel Bryan and complaining. And I knew I was upset, but I recently realized, I think, why I was so upset. And it harkens back to a simpler time, which may have been the last time an ambulance match was on a pay-per-view. I feel like there may have been one in between, but I could be wrong. And I'm talking, of course, about the ambulance match between Cena and Ryback. And the way it all eventually came to that was, I don't know if you guys remember this, because it was during a terrible time of wrestling. Ryback probably should have gotten the belt sometime around there when he was a super face. That was when he was like taking on two guys at a time, Mel Page. And was, you know, really, really over. But he couldn't get the belt from Punk. And then it went from Punk to Cena. And anyways, they basically had to turn him heel. And this is how they turned him heel. Ryback basically comes out and cuts a completely truthful promo about how, for weeks on end, he was helping Cena out and defending Cena and all this stuff. And then, like, for multiple weeks after that, I don't even remember who was doing it, but people were coming out and just beating on Ryback. I think there might have been a stable or something. It was the Shield. Okay.
They kept triple powerbombing him.
And so he cuts this promo, which is completely true. He's like, I spent week after week after week helping Cena, and then I start getting attacked, and Cena's never anywhere to be seen to come help me. And Cena basically comes out and cuts one of his scathing Cena promos, basically saying, you know, suck it up, princess. This is the WWE. There were years when, you know, stables were coming out and beating up on me, and no one ever came to help me. You want to make it in this profession. This is something you have to deal with. And Ryback became the heel because he was, you know, complaining and whining and crying, and we were all being taught from Cena that, you know, this is wrestling. Not everything's fair. You just deal with it. What did we learn on SmackDown yesterday? If you're a woman, apparently you go to Daniel Bryan and you cry and whine and complain. And I think Becky looked like she was near tears at one point. And, you know, it's like, I work so hard and then someone cuts out my legs under me. Again, if this was apparently 5 or 6 years ago or whenever, John Cena would be there telling them, suck it up, ladies. This is pro wrestling. You should be happy you got a ladder match. Instead, what happens? Briefcases get taken away, like when Bill Clinton came and reversed the state unfair decision and allowed Lisa to be given the award. So now we're going to have this match, and I think we all know that this is just Carmella should have had the briefcase. The only way I'll be interested is if they have Carmella win again to establish that she deserves the briefcase, but I'm pretty sure they're giving it to Charlotte, and then it's just all going to be downhill from here.
Yeah, I mean, Carmella in her promo to start kickoff SmackDown made some really good points. I mean, in every other previous Money in the Bank match, there was interference. There were people who assisted the winners in getting the briefcase.
But Russ, the assistant never got the briefcase. This is the first time that's ever happened, I believe. Kent?
No, you're pretty, you're on board there. I think the closest to really helping was when Rhino put Edge or Christian on his shoulders and climbed the ladder.
Climbed the ladder, right.
That was pretty fucking solid. But that was probably about the closest an outsider has come to help secure the briefcase.
So, all right, so I'll go on. I'll just say this. Eric was on point with the women bitching, and they get their way, apparently, and that's the way things go, which is great, great story to tell, WWE. I have other problems with it, too. Okay, first of all, if they knew, they had to know. They had to know this was going to be a controversial ending, having a man get the briefcase. They had to know this. There's no way WWE went and go, this is fine, it's first and historic, why don't we do this? No. There is no fucking way. They went, let's get this. People will talk about it because we had a man get it. Ooh, and it backfired in their fucking face. And now they're trying to course correct. Well, fuck you, WWE. You don't get that chance, all right? You should have just stuck with it. Carmella did a beautiful job, and I had to go rewatch it this morning because I missed it. But Carmella did a great job of establishing the heat that was on the company and bringing it on her. Which is what she's supposed to do. That's exactly what a heel is supposed to do. They took this heat on the company and she brought it onto her. It masterfully done, I thought. And then they took that all away and completely fucked this up. If Carmella does not win this match next week and Charlotte wins, I think I'm with Kat. It's a bunch of bullshit. I think I'm done. So it's just sad because Carmella, an emerging star, and Ellsworth has been on fire, and they just totally fucked it up. And you know what the worst part is? I've been reading online, and people are lauding this decision. They're saying, Daniel Bryan did the right thing. Wow, this is so good for wrestling. Blah, blah, blah. Really? This is good for wrestling? Last time I checked, no DQ means no fucking rules, which means James Ellsworth could do whatever the fuck he wanted. If he wanted to come out there in a goddamn chicken outfit, dance around, kick his Carmella in the face, grab the belt, and then give it to Carmella, then he should be allowed to do that. Who the hell cares? It's a rule. Now, should WWE done it? No, but that was their own stupidity. Too bad. Suck it up. Deal with it. And let us have the story we were supposed to have. So if Carmella doesn't win next week, I'm not saying I'm rioting because I'm not doing that shit again, but I might be done.
I might be as well. What do you think, Kent?
Well, after what Russ said, I mean, there's so little left to say other than to say that, once again, I'm going to rant on feminists for a brief minute. Like, people that are mad, people are mad that a woman didn't win it, right? But
a woman did win it.
Russ, you had your time. Settle it down. Now, women won it. James Ellsworth was directionless. Then they paired him with Carmella, and Carmella's created this huge character, right? This is Carmella's creation. So shitting on this ending is shitting on a female's creation. And that's not very feminist. That's anti-feminist, in my opinion. So people are being hypocrites. Like, Ellsworth's playing a part, but really, without Carmella, he wouldn't even be relevant right now. So they should be applauding this whole thing, because that's her fucking creature, her baby, and people are just being shitty about it, and I don't think it's really fair.
And I want to go back to Eric's point. The funny thing about Ryback complaining was that Ryback was a member of Nexus, the same group that beat up Cena. And that was historic.
Ah, there's that word again. All right, speaking of things that aren't fair, let's talk... we touched on this earlier, but let's really get into discussing the debut of Maria and Mike Kanellis. Yes, we saw them on Money in the Bank. They're going to teach us all about love. And apparently they had a dark segment on SmackDown. What's up with that, guys? Eric?
I'll be honest. I have no opinion on any of this yet. I just think it's mad money that they had him take Maria's last name. And that's all I have to say about that.
Russ?
Yeah, I don't know either of these two at all, and so I can't really form an opinion. I'm like Eric, so I'm just going to say, if feminists want equality, all I'm going to say is then let's have this match be fair and treat it just like we would treat the men's match. In which case, if a girl walked up and got the briefcase and gave it to the next man who was in line and he won, nobody would bat a fucking eye. So we shouldn't bat a fucking eye on this and let the story fucking play out.
Kent?
As the power of positivity here in this room, I can sit here and say that Maria, more so than Mike actually, was a really bright spot in TNA. She will rival Alexa as far as best on the mic for females go. She is worlds better than she was back in her original WWE, WWF run. Mike, on the other hand, he's going to be a good mid-card guy, hopefully. And I think we're in for a pleasant surprise. I think a lot of people may remember Maria from before and probably not want to give her another shot. She's going to wow a lot of people with her mic abilities. And Mike's a good in-ring hand. Under the right condition, right angle, right opponent, these two could flourish and be really a really good addition. I mean, hell, they skipped right over NXT, which says a lot. So, I'm happy. Positive. Not on my period.
So, I guess, who would you have him go against? Who should his first feud be?
Honestly, I would have him go against... I'd have him go against AJ Styles. A win over AJ, cheaply, doesn't hurt AJ in the least bit, and it really helps his credit. And AJ, I'm pretty sure, would be willing to do that. Because AJ's due another big run at some point, but right now, if they want to have him put over a person, Mike Bennett would be a really good one. And like I said, it doesn't have to be clean. It can be dirty as hell to establish that this is a dirty couple. That's fine. But it will help catapult him. And I think AJ could have a really good promo with them. So that's my pick.
Cool. Speaking of AJ, let's touch on everything with the U.S. Open Challenge, Kevin Owens, American Alpha being involved, and just what AJ's role is on that. I'm confused, guys, so I'm hoping you have some answers for me. Eric?
You know, I'm very glad to see the Open Challenge come back, and I hope it's a continuing thing. And I'm happy to see American Alpha showing up on TV again. It's just really weird that it was one half of American Alpha, and I don't understand why AJ was out there. I'll be completely honest. I was only half paying attention when it was just him and AJ out there, and I assumed it was AJ being like, I'm here to challenge. And then the next thing I know, American Alpha's music hits, and then one half of American Alpha comes. He wasn't even accompanied by his partner. It was like almost like he was, you know, single. And I was like, if they were going to do that, wouldn't it have made more sense to have it be Mojo Rawley? Because I still think they're going to lead up to a breakup between Mojo and Zach. So I'm going to have to throw out the cautiously optimistic again, because if the Open Challenge becomes a regular thing, it can only do great things for the belt. And I want to see, you know, people like Gable. It was Gable, right? Yeah. getting to go, you know, getting opportunities like this. But it's like, because it's WWE, they just had to do confusing booking on something that should be relatively straightforward. So I hope it's just straightforward in the future.
Russ?
Well, I think AJ was out there to kind of continue the feud with Kevin Owens, but only in the point to be an antagonist at this point right now. Because he came out to introduce Chad Gable, who was apparently from Dayton, Ohio, for that night. I'll say this. Chad Gable looked great. Fantastic, even. Great match against Kevin Owens. Some really good suplexes. I actually really enjoyed his promo. Quick. It was quick, but he sounded like he could be fun. This was really positive for Chad Gable's single career, which we all assume is coming in the future. I'm not going to say near future because we don't know when the hell it's going to happen. But in his single push, this was a real, real positive for him. So good for Chad Gable. I really thought it was good. And I just think AJ was out there to continue the story.
Ken?
Yep.
Wouldn't you?
I think that after this month, once KO does his little run with this U.S. Championship, I think he should have a little tiff with Daniel Bryan, and KO should say, I will defend this belt weekly, only against Canadians. I think that'd be a fascinating storyline, and that's how you debut Bobby Roode.
Oh. I just came up with that. I like that. I really like that idea. Anybody else have an opinion on that? Russ, I mean?
Sure. Sounds good to me.
All right. With that being said, I think we're more or less up to speed on everything that happened this week, right, guys? So, I guess let's discuss what we're looking forward to next week. In our segment, I'm not finished with you yet. Especially now that Braun Strowman's back. I'm looking forward to more Braun Strowman. I just hope he doesn't beat up Roman Reigns anymore. Eric?
Man, I didn't realize this was a segment you guys did. I guess I should listen to the show more.
Number one fan!
I don't like...
That's sad, he is too, though.
I'm not going to go with Strowman, because that would be, you know, you already said it. I'm not going to say the women's Money in the Bank, because even though I'm hopeful they'll do the right thing, they're not going to, and Charlotte's going to come down with it. So I'm going to say what hopefully next week, U.S. Championship, Open Challenge. And let's say, who do I think is going to...
The other half of American Alpha.
Yeah, you're probably right, Russell. That actually makes sense, and then they can both be losers.
Save Ty Dillinger for the Canadian Open.
Exactly, because we're never going to see Ty again.
Ty could be in it. Well, we did see Ty. He was selling...
On a commercial.
Concrete.
Yes. I'm just going to say this. Ty is worse than Bailey, I think, at this point.
Oh, wait, no. Okay, come on. You can't be worse if you're not on TV. Like,
and they're treating her worse. They're treating him worse. They're treating him worse. Because at least Bailey's on TV.
No, well, I'm looking forward to the Custard Concrete challenging for the European belt next week. US. They should bring back European.
Russ, what are you looking forward to next week?
Well, I am looking forward to Braun, definitely. But that should be an obvious thing. So I'm going to go with, I'm also looking forward to seeing Bailey if she got the corporate boob job, or really she was just going not sports bra this week.
And Kent.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to Naomi versus Lana. I'm really curious what body part Lana chooses to work on the whole match and then completely disregard when she hits her finisher this coming week. That's all. I mean, and Bailey's tits, but yeah.
And Braun, of course. I mean,
and Braun's tits and Cass's tits.
And Cass's tits, definitely.
Yo, Braun's become very tit-tacular.
It has.
Boobalicious.
All right. So, with that said, now, listener, I think our listeners are up to speed on everything. So I think it's time for our favorite game, guys. And Eric, since you're our special guest, we'll let you choose our wrestler. Do you have your wrestler?
Yes, I do have my wrestler. Thank you for asking.
Kent, cheat! Now my Kent, cheat!
My only question is Kent playing because he won't be able to hear anything Russell says?
That's never helped or hurt him.
That's a good point. Okay, so what are the first two questions I have to answer?
It's good that you asked that, Eric. So let me explain the rules, review them for you, and also explain them to our listeners. So, as always, the rules for Guess the Wrestler are one of us picks a wrestler, and the others get 9 questions and 2 guesses to figure out who the wrestler is. The first 2 questions that you need to answer for us that are guessing is if it's a current or former superstar, and if it's male or female.
Okay. Definitely, well, I'm going to say current superstar as in... He's definitely active. He's not necessarily active in America right now, but he is definitely active. And, current superstar, and what was the other one?
Male or female? Male or female. I'm assuming he's male.
Yes. Male, active.
All right. So, who wants to go first?
Go ahead, Russ.
All right, so you said he's current. So I'm going to ask the question: what is he most famous? What company is he most famous in? Like, where would we have seen him before?
Okay, so if you were to ask like major hardcore wrestling fans, you would get a wide variety of answers because he has literally wrestled everywhere, like every major promotion. If you were to ask like an average wrestling fan, especially one who watched it during the peak period of the Monday Night Wars, they would say, oh yeah, I totally remember him from WCW.
What titles has he held?
Okay. Again, literally everything. He would be most famous in America for holding the WCW Cruiserweight, but he has held championships in All-Star Wrestling, CMLL, Dragon Gate, Jersey All-Pro, Michinoku Pro, New Japan Pro Wrestling. He actually had the WWE World Junior Light Heavyweight, which I don't even think exists anymore, or like was discontinued a long time ago, Osaka Pro. He was, they include Pro Wrestling Illustrated. Those aren't belts. But in 2000, he was number 8 in the top 500 singles wrestlers. Pro Wrestling Noah, Tokyo Sports, Vendetta Pro Wrestling, here's WCW, Wrestle Association R, multiple awards in the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Yes, so that's pretty, so literally everything.
What's his hometown?
Ooh, all right, let me see. According to Wikipedia. Build from Tokyo, Japan. So that is one for each of you, right? So you each have 2 more questions to go.
All right, so any major catchphrases that we would know?
I'm going to be honest and say, if he has any major catchphrases, they were in Japanese. I don't think any of us would know that.
Okay.
Has he had any recent stints with the WWE?
Yes. Yes, he has.
Oh, it's Kent's turn. Kent, he's got to ask a question. Ooh.
You know, I don't see it listed here, and I honestly don't remember him in ECW, but I kind of feel like he might have shown up before. I kind of feel like back in the day when we would, like, you know, watch. Yeah, so.
What was Kent's question?
Was he in ECW?
Oh.
And I feel, again, you know, he has a very long Wikipedia article, and there's no specific ECW heading, so I can't say for sure. But I kind of feel like one of those one-offs, like when you would see an Eddie Guerrero or things like that back in the day. Mm-hmm. Either way, I already know Kerry knows who it is.
Oh, Kerry knows?
I know Kerry knows.
I think I figured it out.
Well, then, I guess we could ask our questions just to make sure. So I'll relent to Kerry. Go ahead, Kerry. Ask a question. Make sure you know who it is.
He was supposed to be on 205, correct? Or cruiserweight division?
During
this most recent stint.
That I never heard anything about that. It's entirely possible, but honestly, I don't have a clue about that.
Okay, then I have no idea who this is. Somebody else okay, ask a question.
Well, then I will. Would you like me? I thought when I answered yes to the has he had any stints with WWE, I thought when I answered yes, you would know who it was. Would you like me to clarify that answer any? I thought if I clarified, it would make it too obvious. Would you like me to say what involvement he recently had with WWE?
I guess.
Yeah, that might help.
It was specifically the NXT brand he was involved in recently.
Okay.
And Kent, I got nothing.
Kent?
What? Are you? So you're cheating, is what you're saying.
No, I'm looking at Tyler Breeze.
Tyler Breeze. His day is really H. Do you have a question for him, Kent? It's your turn.
Do you want to just ask me, did he fight Tyler Breeze? Is that what... now Kerry has it. Well, if that's your question, yes, you're on the very right track. I don't even
question?
Know. How many questions is that?
Say that's nine. What was the question, though? Because I didn't hear it, so our fans didn't hear it either.
Kent was looking up Tyler Breeze, so the question was, am I on the right track? And the answer to that is yes.
Okay.
Before Kerry, you know, makes her guess and gets it right, I would like to point out that some facts to, you know, entertain Kent is this wrestler's character, after the success of Tiger Mask, who was based off a Japanese anime, this person's character, he was completely based off an anime character. Two, he invented the Shooting Star Press, which he developed after watching the anime Fist of the North Star, the anime in which you attack with pressure points and people explode. So I don't know how that caused him to create the Shooting Star Press, but that's pretty cool. And also, non-anime related, which I just found pretty cool and learned from Wikipedia, trained under Stu Hart.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so Kerry, would you like to guess the wrestler? Can you actually remember his full three-part name?
I know the last name is Liger.
And what would be the first two parts to the name? I'm sorry, that's an incomplete answer.
There's Lightning. And there is... A WCW show in Wednesday night. Oh no, you've been blank struck. Easy.
Oh no, she's failing. She only got one third of the answer.
Yeah, but we have it. We know who it is now.
Oh yeah, well, who is it?
Jushin Thunder Liger.
That is correct. Jushin Thunder Liger.
I cannot for the life of me think of his first name.
Laugh at me when I said I'm looking up Tyler Breeze. It was like the most legitimate thing I could think of.
Because you were still looking it up. You were going to have the answer once you looked up Tyler Breeze.
I just don't remember his name.
All I remember, once she said Liger, I knew it was. I was like, Justin? I was like, no, that's not right. Doesn't sound right. I was like, no, it's Jushin. And then I remembered his full name.
Now, the name came from the anime Jushin Liger. So I don't know where the thunder part came from. But, you know.
WCW.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think it adds something to it. Did you know his main rivalry in WCW is Brian Pillman?
Mm-hmm. They had really good matches.
And he had the debut match of Nitro. Him versus Pillman was the very first match of Nitro at the Mall of America.
Mm.
So he's just pretty awesome. I mean, I always liked him back in the day. But I was like, nah, I had to go with him. I thought by doing the whole anime thing, because Carrie is, knows I've been watching Tiger Mask, I thought she would be like, it's totally Tiger Mask. I was like, no, it's another anime.
Also, interesting story about Jushin Thunder Liger. He was actually on the commentating table during this most recent Okada versus Kenny Omega fight. So if you guys haven't seen that yet, take a look at it. Last weekend.
Is it as good as the first one?
It's not as good as the first one, but it's still good. It's long, it's an hour, but I definitely say watch Okada versus Omega 2. Both guys, I'm telling you, they're getting into fight forever territory, in my opinion. I think I could watch them wrestle forever. Yes, dive. All right. So with that said, great job, everyone, on this week's Guest the Wrestler. And with that, it's time for us to sign out and say goodbye to our listeners for another week. Please check out our blog at 9deuce.com/wrestling and on Facebook at 9deuce blog and on Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter at official9deuce. Or you can just email us the old-fashioned way at wrestling@9deuce. Kent?
No, Kent told me to sign off. I tried giving him the mic, and he was like, Eric, you sign off. So you were wrong to say Kent.
Is there anything special going on, though? She's always asked Kent, is there any...
Yeah. Anyways, am I supposed to say something? Like, how do you guys sign off?
Well, usually Carrie ends it, and I say stupidly, bye, guys, and Kent says something stupid. But Kent doesn't have the mic.
I remember, do you guys still do the watch wrestling?
No, we haven't done that in a while. That's been a long one.
Okay, well then I will do it, because I am here, and last time I was on the show, that was a big thing with Russell, watch wrestling! So everyone...
I'm not insulting our one listener, don't watch wrestling.
Shut up and watch wrestling! Have a good night, guys.
Bye, guys!
Good night, y'all.
Hey, I haven't been on in a while. I don't know what's going on, but yeah, there's a Babadook blog coming out tomorrow, and a Jaws one coming out on July 1st, and then we're doing Army of Darkness, which is debatable whether it's a horror movie or not. What's this doing on my sign-off? Fuck you guys, you're still listening to it for some stupid reason.
Watch wrestling.
You're idiots. Watch wrestling. Fuck you very much.